The CSIS Africa program has undertaken a major project looking at the risks to stability in 10 countries in sub-Saharan Africa in the coming decade. I'm pleased to be joined by the author of our report in Kenya, Dr. Terrence Lyons. Dr. Lyons is a senior associate with the CSIS Africa program and an expert on issues of conflict. Dr. Lyons, you characterize the Ethiopian regime as stable but brittle. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that the regime is actually in some ways quite powerful. It has suppressed the opposition quite effectively. It has consolidated its power through a series of non-contested elections. But at the same time, that very power, that very strength is a source of brittleness because they've obtained that power through the acquiescence rather than the support of significant constituencies in Ethiopia, notably people in the cities and in some strategic regions such as the Oromo region.
Thanks. And in your description of the ruling party, the EPRDF, you identify this tension between a highly centralized controlling party, which at the same time maintains decentralized, ethnically based sub-parties in the regions. Is this a sustainable model for stable governance?
I have some concerns, or I think there are some open questions, let me put it that way, about the sustainability. Again, right now, the party is stable because there is a strong executive committee and the center controls the resources, so leaders in the region have incentives to cooperate and to remain loyal to the party. But there is no clear mechanism of succession. Who comes next? Right now, the prime minister is Amele Sinawe, has been prime minister for 20 years, but after him, there is a kind of an ethnic rivalry where different ethnically defined parties all believe that it is their turn next, whether it's the Oromos or the Amhara or groups in the south of Ethiopia. So by structuring it around ethnic politics, the EPRDF has built in this tension of long-term stability and how do you keep all of the ethnically defined parties, ethnically defined leaderships sufficiently happy to remain loyal.
And you touched on this a bit in your response, but Prime Minister Mele Sinawe has said that he intends to stand down in 2015. Would you agree that managing a political transition in such a tightly controlled environment is a potential trigger of instability?
A couple of responses to that. First of all, there are some who think, who doubt that Mele Sinawe will step down in 2015. I actually think that he may well step down. So there's some question as to whether or not this will happen. What the party has done since the 2010 elections is to go through a process where some of the senior leaders going back to the time of the armed struggle have either been retired or moved off into ambassadorships and so on, while some younger members of the party have moved up into leadership positions to be the heads of important ministries. And right, the first stage of this transition was actually managed quite well. The main power brokers were all sufficiently satisfied to remain loyal. But I think that every time there is a transition like this, inherently power is in flux. There's uncertainty. Different wings of the party may perceive who's up and who's down differently, and there'll be it's fraught with tension. It's structurally full of tension.
Okay. And in your report, you chart the steady contraction of political space in Ethiopia since the post-election violence of 2005. How does this trend affect the prospects for stability in the coming decade?
Yeah, I do think that there were other options in Ethiopia. If in the 2005 election, the outcome had been that the opposition had some one-third of the seats and remained in parliament and was allowed to operate as a kind of a loyal opposition, Ethiopia would be far less to worry about in Ethiopia. But for a variety of reasons relating both to the ruling party and the opposition, there was a crisis and now the opposition is shattered and suppressed. The concern is that without some kind of opposition, you get the party becomes more and more brittle, there are fewer and fewer people who can engage with the party in order to promote a change or reform. The base of the party has become more and more narrow. So the party that came to power in 1991 had a much broader base, had a collection of leaders with different degrees of power, and now increasingly there's a very, very small group of Ethiopians within the party, within the TPLF, core of the party, who are in control and therefore making the whole party and the whole regime more vulnerable.
And there are regional concerns as well. Ethiopia has been involved in long-running conflicts with Eritrea and Somalia. While the external security situation is fairly stable for the time being, what are the risks of renewed conflict for Ethiopia's stability?
The EPRDF, the ruling party, has done a very good job. In fact, it's an indication of how effective it is in managing a series of regional challenges, from the border war with Eritrea to an intervention in Somalia in 2006 and 2007. And it has managed to manage each of those crises in turn. What I reference in the paper, though, is the scenario by which, what if two or three or four of these crises were to escalate at the same time, so that there was an increased tension on the border with Eritrea, there was another crisis in Somalia, perhaps a crisis within the cities of Ethiopia over food or disturbance at the university. And the big unknown, also referenced in some of these papers, is what happens in Sudan. If Sudan were to return to violent civil war, there would be further spillover effects within Ethiopia. So each one of those, a problem in the cities, a problem in the Somali region or Somalia, a problem with Eritrea, a problem with Sudan, I think the EPRDF has the capacity to deal with each of those. But if all four were to escalate simultaneously, that would tax even a very capable party like the EPRDF.
Understandable. Also, Ethiopia has a history of cooperating with the United States on security issues. How does this affect American interest within Ethiopia, particularly as it relates to the country's governance?
The United States sees Ethiopia as a partner in its security concerns, particularly with regard to the global war on terrorism. But most recently, we saw, for example, when the international community and the United States were looking for a force that could be put in place in between southern and northern Sudan, in Abyei, it was the Ethiopians who could do that. And there's very few other countries on the continent of Africa who are interested or capable of doing that. So Ethiopia, besides just the war on terrorism, plays a very important role and is very, and the United States appreciates that cooperation. At the same time, however, the interest that the United States has in cooperating with Ethiopia weakens the leverage that the United States has in trying to put pressure on Addis Ababa on human rights or democracy. The leadership in Addis Ababa can, I think, correctly calculate that if Washington is forced to choose between its concerns over rule of law and participatory elections or its concerns about a return to civil war in Sudan or a renewed crisis with al-Qaeda in the Horn, that the security interest will trump the human rights and governance issues.
Ethiopia has recorded fairly impressive rates of economic growth over the past decade, but are they sustainable, particularly given the fast pace of population growth?
The evidence of growth in Ethiopia over the past 5 years is palpable, not only in the city, the capital of Addis Ababa, but in the regions. You will see new regional universities, new regional municipal buildings going up, new hotels, new retail centers. It really is a country that has seen remarkable economic growth. It is also, however, a country that is desperately food short and relies upon the international community to prevent a widespread starvation. Ethiopia is in a crisis over a food shortage at the moment here in the summer of 2011. So the growth has been high, but it's unclear what will be the basis to sustain it. Agriculture has been certainly growing, but not at a 10% growth rate. Ethiopia is moving into large-scale energy exports of electricity, the interest in building major dams and looking to become a kind of a regional power center, electrical power center. But that's still some years off and is hard to support a country of some 80 million people. So as Ethiopia's population continues to grow, the demand for an increased pace of economic growth will be considerable and difficult to sustain.
All right. So we've touched on several risks that Ethiopia may face in the future. What is your assessment of Ethiopia's most likely path in the face of these potential risks?
My sense actually is at least in the short to medium run, to expect that the EPRDF will be able to continue to maintain its hold on power. My assessment is that there is really nothing on the horizon that would be capable of defeating the EPRDF in any kind of election or any kind of armed struggle. Where a regime like the EPRDF typically loses power is when there's internal when the party splits within itself, when there's factional fighting within the party that then plays out in the public arena, and it's very difficult to predict when or if that would happen. I think structurally, there's a problem with secession. There's a problem with a very highly centralized system. At the same time, it's a system that empowers regions and ethnically defined parties. And if there's a crisis for whatever reason, either because regional crises converge, or perhaps there's a major economic problem, or there's a split within the ruling party, I think that the regime is brittle, and in fact could the veneer of power could peel off quite quickly, and there'd be the potential for a large-scale instability. So my prediction is that every year that's not the most likely outcome, but it's a very worrisome outcome, not only for people in Washington, but of course for the people in Ethiopia and the Horn of Africa. They desperately don't need another violent transition of power. The Ethiopians have suffered enough from violence, but there's no clear long-term sustainable process of political reform underway that would make it so that a violent change was unlikely.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lyons. You can read the whole report, Ethiopia, Assessing Risks to Stability, by going to our website, csis.org/Africa. You can catch this and all the interviews in our Africa interview series on iTunes U.